Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. From phishing texts to imposter scams, fraud targeting seniors is rising. Reported financial losses among older adults are growing, with the Federal Trade Commission estimating billions of dollars stolen in 2023 alone, the latest year with available data. AARP fraud ambassador Paul Greenwood visited Delaware this week to meet with law enforcement, the FBI, and specialists in the field as part of an AARP-organized discussion. Greenwood was the lead prosecutor of the Elder Abuse Protection Unit in the San Diego District Attorney's Office for 22 years, prosecuting hundreds of felony cases involving physical, sexual, emotional, and financial abuse against seniors. And this week he joined Delaware Public Media's Joey Arzari to talk about efforts to curb elder fraud and how we can better protect vulnerable seniors.
Fraud targeting seniors, it's nothing new, but we're seeing it happen at increasingly higher rates. Why is that, and what exactly is going on?
Yes, I think several reasons. One of them, of course, is just simple demographics. More and more people are becoming older adults. They say that every day in America, 10,000 people turn age of 65. So the database is growing, and the number of reports are coming in much quicker and much better than when I first started out prosecuting these cases back in 1996. And I think we've learned a lot of lessons in the last 25, 30 years about these cases. So for those reasons, and unfortunately, because there are so many different ways now that the predators can take advantage of older adults, the number of ways to defraud older adults is increasing.
And when we say fraud in this context, what kind of fraud are we talking about? This is more than just financial, right?
Well, it covers a whole variety of theft type cases. And it starts with family members. One of the most prevalent suspects that I prosecuted in my 22 years of doing these kind of cases was the son. The adult son living off his widowed mother, lazy, unemployed, drug, alcohol, or gambling addicted, stealing from his mother. Another type of fraudster was the caregiver coming in and stealing the jewelry and the credit card, or professional thieves. We've had attorneys steal from older adults, realtors, even members of the clergy. I mean, the list goes on. And when I talk to people about fraud from older adults, they say, "Oh, I know what you mean, internet scams." I said, "Well, yeah, that's part of it, but there's so much more, multi-leveled type of cases here."
Well, as this growing issue of senior fraud has evolved over the years, how else are fraudsters targeting older adults in new ways?
Well, they've realized, and I think especially since COVID hit, that older adults are becoming less intimidated by the internet. For many, during COVID, it was their lifeline. So an email was really the highlight of their day. And obviously, more and more older adults are getting more accustomed to having a smartphone on their fingertips, no longer just the landline, but they have a smartphone carrying with them at all times. That in itself has given opportunities to the scams artists to take advantage. So, for example, many of these frauds are conducted where the fraudster is actually in the purse or in the pocket of the victim, accompanying them to the bank or the credit union and coaching them on how to put the cash that has just been withdrawn from the bank or the credit union into a cryptocurrency ATM machine. You couldn't do that with a landline in the past, but now the fraudsters think this is a perfect opportunity to accompany the victim and to make sure that the victim follows through with getting the money.
When we look at Delaware specifically, is there anything about this state and its makeup that makes its seniors more susceptible to fraud, or is everyone essentially in the same boat?
It's a great question, and I don't think that any state should be singled out as being different from any other. There are obviously factors that impact upon a state. For example, a state like Montana or Wyoming is more rural. Maybe older adults there are less accessible to resources. Whereas Delaware, being a little more tight-knit community, a smaller community, what I do say is that the smaller the state, the more opportunity there is for the professionals to connect with one another, to work more cohesively with one another, and to form a commitment with one another to aggressively combat these fraudsters. And so that's why I'm looking forward to Friday's event at the University of Delaware to enable us to really try to rally the troops and get a commitment that we work together much more seamlessly to identify these fraudsters and hold them accountable.
Well, that's a perfect segue. You are in town this week for that AARP organized discussion on fraud. Now, a big part of that event will be addressing the issue and how seniors can better protect themselves. What role do you think AARP plays in raising awareness and combating elder fraud?
You know, I've been so privileged to work with AARP since my retirement from the prosecutor's office in various ways. There's certainly an emphasis placed on educating the consumer, and that's an important role that AARP does very effectively through their magazine and the regular emails, the fraud alerts. They also do a great job of providing a listening tool for their consumers and even folks who are not members of AARP. There's a Fraud Watch network that has trained telephone volunteers who will listen to victims who've been defrauded. And AARP have also done a great job on teaching all of us how we address victims and what words we use so that we don't actually try to almost blame the victim for being in this predicament. And then finally, Joe, AARP have taken a position to reach out to law enforcement and to other prosecutorial agencies to offer their resources to bring, as we are going to do on Friday, all these agencies together. You know, Joe, I've been to several elder justice conferences where professional agencies have had their booths, right? They've set up. Department of Justice, Attorney General, the Contractor State Board, whoever it is, postal inspectors, and yet they're not talking to one another and they don't know one another. And what we're trying to do is encourage all these agencies to get to know one another and share intelligence with one another across the board. And that's what excites me, and that's what makes me so proud of the work that AARP is doing.
So as these fraud cases and financial losses among seniors continue to rise, what more would you like to see done?
I would like to see more, first of all, funding for agencies to go after this problem. I'd like to see more recognition from our administration, both federally and statewide, that this is a very vicious crime that can impact older adults in so many different ways, not just financially. It can affect them through mental health. It can affect them through depression, loneliness, through actually thinking about taking their own lives. And I really would like to see more emphasis on a multidisciplinary approach across the board, state by state, sharing information with one another. And we shouldn't just be concentrating on what we call the violent crimes. We should be making sure that elder fraud is up there as one of the most challenging and most important criminal justice issues that we need to be facing.
So as we wrap up, for seniors and elders themselves, what can they do individually, and how can they better protect themselves from fraudsters and scams?
Yes, very important. And so this really needs to be addressed not only by the older adults themselves, but by the adult children of the older adults who need to understand that their parents are at great risk of becoming the next victim through a phone call, through an email, through a text, on the smartphone. And so it is always to say, don't ever give out any information about yourself. Don't ever trust anybody who contacts you pretending to be part of the Social Security Administration, part of Medicare, part of the local police department, whoever it is. Don't immediately assume that they are who they say they are, even if they say they give you a badge over the phone or over an email. Always verify, and always, always, before you ever, ever do anything of a financial transaction, always contact your own family, always contact your own professional advisor, get somebody else, a set of eyes to look at this situation. Nothing is so urgent that it needs you to respond without telling anybody else.
Thanks to AARP Fraud Ambassador Paul Greenwood and our Joey Rosari for joining us on The Green this week. And we finish out The Green next with Arts Playlist, where we head to the Grand in Wilmington for a preview of the First State Ballet Theater's fresh take on Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.